Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, I really hope that your Advent and Christmas celebrations were wonderful. I hope that you rang in the new year in an appropriate way, whatever that is for you. And I hope you're doing really, really well. So again, Happy New Year. And as we leap into 2020, we're going to continue our sermon series on courage. It's always tempting at New Year's for preachers, get you inside the mind of preachers everywhere. Just what you always wanted, right? It's always tempting to go for New Year's themes, right? You know, 10 steps to a better you in 2020 or something like that. Or, like, I don't know if you realize this, but in whatever's left of Christendom, like, this is a banner year. Because it's the year 2020, right? Which means every preacher everywhere can have 2020 vision for their church. It's like this is it. You don't know how excited preachers get about these things, but I have resisted temptation. And I'm going to stand firm because really, we know who we are. We're a people dedicated to formation, community, and impact in Jesus' name in the places that he has placed us. And here's the thing, I think there's nothing wrong with preaching New Year's sermons. There's nothing wrong with talking about 2020 vision, if that's what you want to talk about. But here's some things I think we all know. We can craft our lives well for 2020. We can make adjustments, resolutions, plans, decisions. We can certainly pray, and all of that is good and all of that is right. But the one thing that we can be confident in 2020 is the deep love of Jesus for us. The other thing we can be confident and utterly sure of in 2020 is we have no idea what really awaits us. And I don't know about you, but in 2019, there were some surprises. And 2020, no doubt, will be the same and will require courage of us. So on we go. And we've been saying in our courage series that we have been talking about courage not because we haven't shown courage, but because we have shown courage. And as a result, Jesus is inviting us into more. He has more for us in 2020, not less. In the scriptures, faithfulness means you get more. And that's what's happening with us and our community. And it's wonderful, but it also requires greater levels of courage. Also, we're all, no matter where you are in your life or what's happening in your life, another thing that we can be confident of is that we're all facing at least something that we need courage for right here, right now. And we've been saying in our courage series that courage is usually found right in front of us, right where we are. We've also been saying that courage is something that is formed in us, and we grow in courage by couraging. And that the Lord often puts us in situations where we have to show courage in order to grow our courage. It's a formational thing. And we don't get more courage by running away from the things that the Lord has asked of us. We've been talking about how courage is found in the presence of God. We'll see that again this morning in encounter with him. It's also found in community. We'll see that again this morning in the passage we're going to look at. And it's found in obedience to his callings upon us and as we commit to purity and holiness to do what he's asked of us. And then lastly, we've said that as soon as we commit and set out to live a life of courage, it'll always be challenged. So you can be sure of that as well. So the good news just keeps coming here at the Vineyard. And over Advent, just to remind you, if you can't even remember the last bit of 2019, we did Courage at Christmas. We looked at some passages from the Gospels about the announcement and birth of Jesus. Before that, we were in the Old Testament, and we were following the people of God as they were brought out of Egypt and wandering in the desert. before they entered the promised land. And just before Advent, we looked at the events of Numbers chapter 13. It's the part of the Bible where Moses sent out spies to have the very first look at the promised land and to bring back a report. But Joshua and Caleb, you maybe may remember, are the only two that bring back a good report and say, the land is flowing with milk and honey. There are some tough people in it, but we need to go in there and occupy it because the Lord is with us. And the rest of them said, there's giants in the land. We should leave and go back to Egypt. And the people ended up rebelling out of fear, and they don't want to do what God is telling them to do, which is to go up and take possession of the land he has for them. And as a result, they end up wandering in the desert for many more years, and it's only Caleb and Joshua of that generation that are allowed to actually go into the promised land. And today, we're going to start 2020 by looking at Joshua chapter 1 as the people of God are about to cross over the Jordan River and take the land. So it's time. There's no more wandering in the wilderness, no more rebellion in the wilderness. It's now time to occupy the land that God has promised for his people. Moses has died, and Joshua, his faithful aide, is now leading the people of God. It's a threshold time. The people of God, they're leaving the wilderness, and they're crossing over into this new season of taking the land God has for them. It's going to require action, it's going to require faith, and it certainly will require courage. And it is really fitting that we're talking about it on the first Sunday of the new year, because we're all in a threshold time of a new year. We're stepping out of the old and into the new, and we're preparing to do what God is asking of us as a community and what God is asking of us as individuals in 2020. And so there's some important things that we can take from Joshua chapter 1. And the first thing I want to talk about for a little bit is the courage to go further than those who came before us. One of the things I love most about Joshua in the Bible is that he successfully stewards the legacy that he's been given. He takes what he's been given by those who came before, and he goes further than they themselves went. Now that's our challenge too, stewarding what we've been given and having the courage to play our part in the legacy that God is building in and through us. And that stuff doesn't just happen by accident or without any type of intention or planning. Joshua, who is Joshua? Well, Joshua was a leader. He was a warrior. He was also Moses' aide or his right-hand man. And he was with Moses all the time, constantly, learning from him, serving him, making sure Moses was helped in his leadership challenges, not hindered. The rest of the people did enough hindering. Joshua was there to do the helping, which is one of the keys, actually, to receiving and stewarding legacy and going further than those who came before you. You receive all you can from them by honoring them, serving them, learning from them. But because of your posture towards those who've gone before and that the Lord has asked you to serve and be under, something in the natural and supernatural then is passed on to you as you step out into the unique things that God asks of you in his timing. See, Joshua served well under authority. He served Moses. He was faithful. He cared about what Moses cared about. He served him, and then he was given all the authority that Moses had to steward. He was able somehow to take all he learned, all he received from Moses, but then pursue the unique thing God had for him, which was to help the people actually possess the promised land. Joshua learned so much from Moses. Perhaps the most important thing he got from Moses was an insistence on friendship and encounter with the living God. Exodus chapter 33 is one of the most famous passages about Moses and his insistence on the presence of God. And it tells us about this thing called the tent of meeting, which Moses would set up this tent and he would meet with the living God. And a pillar of cloud would descend upon the tent. Moses would go in the tent, and he would meet with God. The people all knew this because they were camped around the tent of meeting. And then they would see this cloud come. And whenever Moses would go in and meet with the living God, they would fall down on front of their tent, and they would worship. Okay? And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua had this value and he learned it from Moses, and he never wanted to leave the presence of the living God. Why is any of this important for us the first Sunday in 2019? Well, I believe God has something for you. He has a legacy for you to steward. He has a crucial role for you to play in your family, in BCV, in your place of work, in our city, in the world. And part of doing that well, and a key to you doing that well, is honoring and serving and blessing what has gone before you. And part of that is staying focused on the life of encounter with Jesus that we're invited into. And part of it is the courage to take those two things and then be faithful to your unique calling. It's to really live in the radical middle, to not reject all what has gone before us, but also not just repeat what others who went before us, what their assignment was. Joshua needed to take all he could get from Moses, but he needed to not be Moses, he needed to be Joshua, and to do the things that God had for him, not just repeating what Moses did. He needed to do what God was asking of him. So three questions for us facing as we face into 2020. Do we have the courage to serve someone else's vision and legacy so we might receive all that they have? When we do that, favor and blessing are transferred upon us. And I know that this is true because I've just seen this over and over and over again in my own life. Long, 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 long time ago, Steve Nicholson, the pastor, spiritual father that trained and raised Harmony and I, sat me down and said, "Listen, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you just go it alone and you don't sit under any type of authority well, God is going to send you people just like you. People that just want to go it alone and don't want to be under authority well and are just there for what they can get out of it. And that will be a very hard road for you. But if you serve those in authority over you well and you help them steward what they're called by God to do, God will give you people that do the same for you." So he told us to serve someone else's vision. Help other people grow and be successes in what God is asking of them to do, and you will receive people who are called to help you do what God is asking you to do. And I have found that just to be so true as I've done this work for 20 years or so. So, one of our questions in 2020 is, will we have the courage to be Joshua's to our parents, our bosses, our friends, people in our lives? Maybe that's a different vision for heading back to work tomorrow. The department, the boss, you know, how are you looking at that for this year ahead? What if there's an assignment to serve? And what if one of the reasons for that assignment is so that you learn to steward blessing for the unique callings that you have to do? What if as you discern in the staff room and the systems and the relationship networks in your place of employment or your family or the place that you serve, what if you're discerning anxiety and stress and difficulty and the temptation is to actually withdraw? But what if the assignment is to press in and to serve and to change the system and generate blessing? What if it's in your family? How are you helping your parents, no matter what stage of life they're in? What if our assignments are to serve and to make some hard things a bit easier? And what if God is in it? Because what if blessing, favor, authority, and all that those who go before us and have authority over us carry can be passed on to us for the unique assignments God has for us? Second thing that we probably need to think about is, will we have courage not just to serve others in authority, but when it comes time, will we take all that we gain by doing that and not repeat what others have done, but do what he's asking of us now? even if that's a very different thing. Moses' assignment was to bring the people out of slavery in Egypt, to be the lawgiver, and to ensure that they encountered God's presence. But his assignment ended in the wilderness. Joshua would have been a failure if he just kept the people doing laps in the wilderness. His assignment was to take all that Moses taught him and to take them to the promised land. If we can do both of those things, we will go further than those who went before us. If we can take the best that we receive and fulfill our unique calling, we will go further. If we try and only do what those who went before us did, we won't. So which do we want to do in 2020? What new territory does Jesus have for you to occupy in 2020? That is you going further than those who came before. The third question is, will we radically pursue the presence of Jesus to empower us, but also to show us what he is uniquely asking of us? What is my portion in the legacy of God to steward? Where do we find out the answers to those questions? In his presence, over time with him. Those are some interesting thoughts you might want to think about. Joshua chapter 1, you could divide Joshua chapter 1 up really easily into three sections. God speaks, Joshua speaks, the people of Israel speak. And that's how I'm going to do it for us really, really quickly. So it begins with God speaking. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's stark reality. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. So God begins the chapter by speaking himself. And again, it might seem like he's stating the obvious. Joshua was well aware that Moses was dead. But really what he's doing is he's having a clarifying conversation, as I like to call them, with Joshua. And it's basically he's saying, it's now your time. Moses, his time is over. He served me well. He's with me. Now it's your time. And you need to step into the new thing that I have for you, and you need to not shirk the responsibility I'm laying upon you. It's time. It's time to prepare the people to take hold of the land he always promised to give them. Again, it's a threshold time. And many of us, God is speaking something really similar to us. It's a new time. He's got some new things for you in 2020, and it's time to move, and we can't afford to do another lap in the wilderness. We've got to go forward with what God is saying. And he's just really being clear with Joshua. He's saying, you need to be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your ancestors. So, again, as often as we've seen in these passages, looking at Moses and now Joshua, the Lord, he's not bringing it up for a vote. He's not really asking Joshua's opinion. He's not asking Joshua, how do you feel about that? He's just issuing orders, more or less. Later on in verse 9, he's going to say, have I not commanded you? It's not a negotiation. God has some things for his people to do. And when it's time for them to be done, we would do well to get moving. So what does God have for you? What is he asking of you in 2020? Have you spent time praying about that? Have you spent time thinking about that? Have you spent time meditating on that and listening for the voice of God in that? See, if we take the posture of, I'll do what God is asking of me, if it fits with my life and my plans, my vision for 2020, well, it's just not going to go well. Joshua was being commanded. My reflection on 2019 is I got to do a lot of things. Some of the things I loved. Some of the things were fine. Some of the things were clearly things I didn't get a vote on, but was required to play my part in. And that's just the way it works. And the question is, Will we play our part as the Lord speaks? Or will we debate and haggle and waste time, which is short? If you're looking for a prophetic word for 2020 and the coming decade, I might have one for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's doubtful, actually, judging from the looks on your faces. But here you go anyway. I just think the question for this coming decade is not, will God show up? I think he's going to show up quite powerfully. I think the question is, will we? And will the church actually show up? That's the question of the decade. We can all be back in 2030, hopefully not here. We'll be in a nice, lovely home of our own that we've occupied for the better part of a decade and stretched out across the city and all that, and we can have a party and see if I was right. But I think that's something actually to ponder. And if we can't show up for things like prayer, and if we can't show up for things like discipleship, and if we can't show up for things like community and worship, like, how are we going to show up for embracing the fullness of the reality of the kingdom of God for the next decade? So one of the things I think the church in this city needs to intend to do is to show up. So God tells him a few more things, lest I get on too much of a soapbox. And it basically is summed up by, take all you learned from Moses, steward that well, and carry it into the thing that I've asked of you. So that's exactly what God is going to tell Joshua. Or to quote the late John Wimber, who founded the Vineyard Movement, as he spoke for one of the last times to his assembled Vineyard leaders just before his death, he just said to them, take the best and go. Don't live where I live, take the best and go. So what is Joshua supposed to take? Well, one of the things he's supposed to take is this passion and non-negotiable about encountering the presence of God. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God promises to be with Joshua just like he was with Moses. Friend of God, face to face. Why would no one be able to stand against Joshua? Was it because he was so smart? Or because he was the bravest? Or because he was the best? Or he was some kind of genius leader person? No. He's probably a genius leader person. But no one could stand against him because the presence of the living God was going to be with him. And where did Joshua learn this kind of life? He learned it from Moses. So whatever you're facing and whatever you need courage for, the presence of the risen Jesus is here for you and with you now. And our responsibility flowing out from that is to build a life that keeps us engaged in encountering his presence. It's one of our formation, our spiritual formation value here at the Vineyard. Learning and cultivating a life that doesn't just have a belief system about Jesus, but learns to live in his way and to live in his presence and receive from him. He also tells Joshua to take the law given at Sinai to Moses and to keep it. That's another thing he's supposed to take with him. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Again, take what you got from Moses. Steward it well as you move into what I have for you. Courage is found in obedience and holiness and purity. And the law wasn't just this list of dumb rules that the people had to keep God happy. It was actually how to flourish as the people of God in his presence. how to live as a holy people before him. And again, God gave it to Moses for the people and for their flourishing. And he's saying to Joshua, take what you already have and go from wandering in the desert to occupying a new land, different skill set. So, one of my questions, I guess, for all of us, including me, is do we know where our Bibles are in 2020? And will we find ways to build the Word of God into us? We sang earlier, eternal are your mercies, Lord. Eternal truth attends your word. Let's not just sing that. Let's live that. And I don't know about you, but in these days, I need some eternal truth grounding and centering me. And then we just have frequent reminders to take courage. And it just reminds us of our belief that courage is just, it's just what's right in front of us. And it requires an action response, an embracing of it. God's given Joshua all he needs, but Joshua needs to show some courage, and so do we. So God says, take this, take this, take this, I'm with you, and show courage. He doesn't say, and then here's some courage, I'm going to give that to you too. No, Joshua is the one that has to take the courage. And we do too. And I think it's just really important to see, really quickly, that there's like something in the balance. It's in verse 8. Then you will be prosperous and successful if you do these things, is basically what verse 8 is saying. Then it will go well with you. And you can see the gap there. It's all here for you. I'll be with you, but you play your part for this to go well. It won't go well if you forget my presence, you forget my word, and you don't show courage. And the same is basically true for us. We have to own it, and we have to cultivate it, and we have to act on it for it to go well for us in 2020. And so often we feel like God may have something for us, a dream in our heart, but we also feel like we can set the timing, or we can just choose to do it our own way, or to not do it at all. And that's probably not going to go well. So what if in 2020 we didn't let anything pass us by? If we don't cultivate rhythms that keep us close to Jesus, if we ignore and forget his word and truth that invites us into holiness, and if we fail to take courage and do what he's asking of us, the big things and the seemingly small moments, there's going to be some things that are going to pass us by that we will deeply regret. And we will fail to steward the legacy that God is giving us. So let's not fail. And you may be sitting here thinking like, look, Andy, I'm just going to be honest with you. I barely survived Christmas. New Year was a challenge. And I have done no thinking, praying, or meditating on the scriptures or like the rhythms I'm going to need to survive 2020. I barely got through 2019 and I just haven't even thought about it. I was just trying to get by in Christmas time. And here's what I'm going to say back to you. That's totally fine. Like, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. What I would say to you is then just take January. Like, just start today. Just take January. Like, forget about, you know, great, you survived Christmas. I did too. Congratulations. That's good. Now start. Let's just go in January. Nobody has to feel guilty or bad. Jesus still loves you. So do I. But let's take January. And let's just think about for the next few weeks, what does February through December of 2020 need to look like for you to live this year so life with Jesus is authentically formed in you? What's it got to look like? What do you need from him? What does it look like to carry his word? What does it look like to be devoted to his presence? What does it look like? What do you need in your life? What does it need to look like? It's totally fine that you enjoyed Christmas with your family or whatever you did. Now it's time to go, though. Let's not miss a moment. So take the rest of January. Everybody's happy. And let's see what God has for you. Second thing, Joshua speaks. God spoke, now Joshua speaks. Courage leads to action. Okay? So Joshua has a few things to say in response to God speaking to him. He doesn't fail. He immediately responds. I don't know if he was scared. I don't know if he felt like he wanted to throw up. Or if he felt great about what God told him. But I know he acted out what God was commanding him, and we need to pay attention. So Joshua, this is the very next thing that happens. He doesn't debate. He doesn't debate with God. He just goes. So he ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. First thing we see from him is he uses his voice and he embraces what God has said to him. Okay? God said he was the leader. So he acts like it immediately. And he commands the people and he expects them to listen. And he tells them to get ready. He believes God when he told him, I've commanded you to lead these people. And he believed God when God said, I'm telling you, go get that land. And then he lives that out. He takes action in front of the people. See, courage leads us to taking action. And it's still courage, even if we admit, I'm scared, I feel like I want to throw up, I'm out of my depth, there's about 50 other people that we're better at this than me, but God's asked me to do it, so I'm going anyway. Well, that's courage. That's courage. Where do you need to take some action? What has God given you authority over? Family, finances, something at work, business, a ministry at church, something in the community that you're a part of. And courage for you looks like embracing your leadership role in this season. Where is it time? Where is the Holy Spirit breathing on you and saying, it's time to use your voice and lead? You're probably never going to feel 100% ice cold confident. So let's stop waiting for that. And maybe we feel like we're going to throw up in 2020. But let's go for it. You know what I mean. So he uses his voice. The other thing, next thing he uses is strategy. He uses, you know, some gray matter. He just uses his brain. He thinks and he acts. So he doesn't just tell them to get ready. He goes and finds three tribes. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he goes right to those three tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel first. Why does he do that? Well, he goes to tell them not to forget what Moses told them, which is actually really important. He says, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You're to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Okay, what's happening here? Well, those three tribes, you can read about it in Numbers chapter 32, came to Moses and they wanted land east of the Jordan River. They wanted to occupy that land. They liked it. And he said, all right, boys, you can have that land as your own inheritance, but here's the price. You can't just, you know, because you're going to approach it and then the rest of us have to go fight for our land. You have to help us fight. And you can leave the women and children behind in fortified cities and you can keep your flocks grazing in that land. But you have to come fight. And guess what? You cross the Jordan River first and fight. That's what Moses made them promise, so that the entire people of God received their inheritance. And now Joshua, first thing he does, say, get the people ready. Second thing he does is he goes right to these three tribes and he says, I'm holding you to your oath. He knows he can't keep the people of God together and take the promised land without them fulfilling their oath. It's really strategic. So what strategy is Jesus trying to speak to you in 2020 about your life and the seemingly impossible obstacles that you are facing? I don't believe Jesus only wants to tell you what to do. I also believe he wants to tell you how to do it. The question is, do we have courage to listen? So what do you need strategy for in your area of work? Where do you need strategy for in your family? What do you need a strategy for to walk in forgiveness? That thing that just never has gone away. You know you need to forgive someone. Where do you need a strategy to have that hard conversation? Where do you need strategy to have some innovation? Where do you need a strategy in the thing you lead and serve in here in BCV? Where do you need a strategy in your life with Jesus? Because what's happening now just isn't working. Where do you need those things? I mean, that's a question to begin to ask of Jesus. Finally, Joshua has the courage to tell the truth and says some hard things. He tells them, all of them, now's the time. You've been wandering in the wilderness eating free manna and quail, and it's been easy. Now it's time to go fight for what's already yours. And he tells them they're going to need to sacrifice. And what if in 2020 we had the courage to do the same and have some hard conversations as we steward the legacy Jesus has for us and embrace the actions he has for us? And some of those hard things are simply telling the truth and saying hard things in a loving way. I hasten to add, a loving, hard conversation. Last thing is, God spoke, Joshua spoke, and now the people speak back to Joshua. Okay? Then they answered Joshua, whatever you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Okay. Two important things as we close for us as a community. First thing to see is the people follow well. They don't have a great history of following well, but in this moment, they're following well. They don't just barely obey with a lot of grumbling. They actually recognize that God has elevated Joshua, and they celebrate that. And they promise to follow well. Good things happen when we celebrate when God elevates someone else. In other words, when God's doing something and we recognize it and celebrate it, it goes well for everybody. The people of God here realize that if we follow well and celebrate someone else's promotion, it's going to go better for us. Rather than, you know what, I should be the leader, or I'm going unnoticed and I'm living in an insecurity festival, and what about me? And what about, no, they recognize Joshua, you are the man. And they respond well. What if in 2020, in BCV, in your work, in your family, and in every area of your life, we were able to do this, to help others whom God is highlighting, to help them be powerful and fulfill their calling rather than worrying about our own place? I think we do that well here. I think you do that well. My sense is in 2020, we need to do even better in different parts of our lives. And to go even further, because I believe the Lord's hand is already on many of you. And one of my roles is to help all of you go as far as you can within the call of God on your lives and the call of God on our community. And my suspicion is that if we celebrate others and respond well when God highlights others, we will be more satisfied, we will be more joyful, we will be more present, and we will experience more favor and blessing on our callings than we're currently stewarding. And I just think in the kingdom's economy, there can be a win-win. Second thing I think that's important for us is part of the people's response that we need to see is they repeat God's commands back to Joshua, which is be strong and courageous. And we need to repeat God's commands to each other. So many times you, my peers, my leaders have looked me in the eye and said, Andy, I don't know how to tell you this, it's just simply time for you to be brave. So I'm with you, but like, front up. Time to go. And we just need to do that for each other. We need to celebrate each other's callings, and we need to lovingly cheer on and encourage one another and repeat back to each other what God has said about us and about what we are to do on this earth. I think that's supposed to mark us as a community, where we do not let one another forget that we're to be courageous and that that the Lord's hand is upon everyone here, and we are to just encourage and cheerlead and help and support and encourage. To have a personal investment in the flourishing of many others here. What does it look like for that in 2020? And then lastly, for all of us to land in our hearts, is the people weren't asking Joshua to be perfect. They were asking him to be courageous. Only be strong and courageous. And I guess that we and those that look to you would ask just the same of you. You don't have to be perfect. We're just asking you to be courageous. In the call of God on your life right now, in the midst of everything you're facing, big or small, what if the task is simply to stay faithful to Jesus, stay rooted in community, and to be strong and courageous? You don't have to do everything right. Just do the right things. And what if we were good at saying that to one another and encouraging one another? Why don't you stand so we can be done? There's going to be a prayer ministry team up here. We want to pray for one another. If you need healing in your body, if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. If this sermon has stirred something into you, my sense is that many of us really feel like 2020 is a threshold time, but we just feel like we kind of want to throw up. And it's, you know, please don't do that. Really, you know, but we just want to pray for you that we go anyway and we go somewhere with courage. The Lord is speaking to many of us. Some of us, Christmas wasn't great, and we need to process that. We want to be here to pray for you. Others of us, it's a different kind of need, and you need someone just to stand with you and intercede on your behalf. We want to pray for it all. But I'm going to pray for us, ask the Lord to speak, and we'll be done. Father, thank you so much. We just pray that you'd empower us to be faithful. You'd empower us to be faithful. For many of us, the first action back is to just believe what God says about you. It's like what Joshua did. He didn't have a debate. He just said, all right, I'm doing it. And I just think for many of us, it's all right, I'm doing it. I am going to stand up for Jesus in this decade. I am going to live out the gospel to the best of my ability. I am going to live out the way of Jesus in this world. I am going to take responsibility. So come, Holy Spirit, and would you empower that? And would you go right to the core of our identity, our belief system, that we are the people of God, that Jesus is risen and exalted and has the victory, and we live and move and have our being in him. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with courage. Fill us with fresh identity and vision. And I just have a sense that it's like a trumpet is going off in some of your minds or your soul. And it's like Joshua said, 3 days from now, we're going. And it's like the Lord is blowing a trumpet and he's announcing some movement for you. And it's, I don't know if it's going to happen in 3 days, but I feel like 2020 is a movement time. And it is time to come forward and say, okay, I'm going. I'm going to do what the Lord's asking of me. I want to pray for you. So Lord, would you fill us? Would you provoke us to a response? May we take the best of what we've been given and steward that well, but may we fulfill what you are asking us to do. Give us courage to do that for the sake of the generations to come. May we steward legacy well. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.